Paul Capsis, welcome to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ in Brisbane. How are you?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Extremely well. Brisbane hasn't seen Paul Capsis since about 1994 when you brought Burning Sequins up to Le Bois Theatre here.
It's been a long time between drinks.
But it's a long time. But Brisbane is waiting to see Paul Capsis. We've got the Brisbane Powerhouse Theatre. They're sponsors of Queer Radio. And we would expect that the Brisbane Powerhouse should be inviting you to perform, hopefully in the near future.
I hope so. I'm really hanging to come back. I have been hanging to come back since I performed there in 94. It was a wonderful experience.
Great. So our listeners can write or email to the Brisbane Powerhouse and lend their support to wanting you to come up here, because you have a great show. You're saying that it's a big performance, and it's, well, when we saw Burning Sequins, it was you.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since then. I mean, that was a very sort of different way of performing with just pre-recorded music, but now I've got like a band, and I've got a few configurations. I can sing with just like a piano player or piano player and pre-recorded music, or I can do a whole band, and I suggest the band is the one that goes off.
Fine.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It goes really good. Really good show.
You're described as being one of Australia's great divas. Hey. And which is a wonderful thing as a man, because your voice is a very all-encompassing voice.
Mm. Hey.
And during Burning Sequins, you evoked the personalities of women as well as men. But you do have an extraordinary personality. You've played in very successful movies like Head On.
Mm-hmm.
You received from the Film Critics in Australia for their award for Best Supporting Actor for Head On. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah, you've had a painting that's been done and nominated for the Archibald Prize.
Yeah, I've just done another one. So the guys asked me to sit for an Archibald.
Fine.
It's sort of bizarre, really. It's nice. I mean, it's a great acknowledgement. I love doing the film Head On. That's been a great thing for my career. And that's sort of what's happened now, is I've become known for that film. You know, it's that thing of, you know, you could be working for 10 years as a performer, you know, on the cabaret music scene, and then you do one film. You know, it's amazing.
Great.
It's an amazing thing.
You were proud of the character that you played there, Johnny?
Very proud. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of the whole thing, really, the whole film. It was a great opportunity for me to play, to show that I'm an actor, because I didn't sing in the movie, so that was good.
Mm-hmm. You danced.
I danced a little bit, yeah, but I didn't really sing. So it was a very much an acting role, and a very strong character, and it's I identified a little bit with that character. Mainly because of the cultural background, the Greek Maltese thing that I have, and the character's Greek, so, and the gay stuff, you know, so all that come together, kicked in, you know, and playing with gender as well, which there was a stage there in my career I was doing, I was sort of playing with that a little bit. I don't do that so much these days, but there's still an element of it in my work. It was a great, great experience working with Anna Kokkinos, the director. She's made a short film called Only the Brave, which was an incredible short film and won a lot of awards. And I watched the film to see what kind of a director she is. And I thought, oh, my God, she's going to go there. She's really going to go there. Hi, this is Paul Capsis, and you're listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ. You know, and it got a very mixed response from people. People found it very confronting, which was good. Do you know what I mean? It was like a new sort of another kind of way of presenting Australian stories.
If you go to the website planetout.com, the gay support website, they have movie reviews. And when you look at Head On, the critic gives it a 4-star rating.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who reviews it, the people who log in, give it a 5-star rating, practically. And they're saying strong things about the effect it had on them, the support that they felt from it.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you go to the Cannes 98 website, and there's a comment made by Andrew L. Urban regarding it. I assume he had something to do with making the film itself, but he suggests about your character, like Johnny Tula, that the character has made very strong, courageous decisions. The character Ari, Alex Dimitriades, is all about not declaring himself, you know, keeping his secrets, living his life in the shadows, and legitimizing that as a choice. But Johnny, as a transvestite, he's recently come to a very clear and strong position that this is how he's going to live his life. And there are times, hey, when people have to decide that they're going to take a line where this is who I am, people have to accept me as I am. It must be extremely hard with a Greek Maltese background where there are strong pressures to behave in a certain way. Like when I spoke to you in 94, you said that you felt those pressures as well, and that you would try to come out to your mum and she'd put her hands over her ears and yell and run out the house rather than talk about it. Have these things changed?
Oh, yeah, a great deal. A lot of it has to do with my work, I suppose. But I've changed too. I don't know, I guess. I don't know, you just sort of make a decision, you know. And it's not an easy decision. It certainly wasn't an easy one for me. But it was a good, really good thing. And, I mean, my mum's sort of okay now. I mean, I'm in a relationship now. I have been with this lovely man for 2 years. And mum, you know, likes him, and he's in the family. My family know about him. So it's kind of, it's changed a lot. And that's because, I guess, I don't know, I just sort of, I just live my life. I think I've become stronger more than anything, because I still feel there's quite a high element of homophobia out there. And, knowing full well that I don't get the opportunities because I'm openly gay, basically I've gone, well, there's no turning back. And so I'm just going to go further with it, embrace it even more, rather than try and pretend or, you know, satisfy other people because they might not be comfortable with it, you know. And I think I'm stronger now than I've ever been about all that.
Great.
But I just am. I just do it. I be rather than think about or contemplate, you know what I mean? I just am. Hi, this is Paul Capsis, and you're listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ. Love you and love your work. Feel the beat of my heart.
With Burning Sequins, you are refashioning, perhaps, other people's work. Mm-hmm. But you're contributing to this work refashioned that's appeared on CD through Groove Scooter. And you're reworking a Marcia Hines song.
Yeah, we did the Marcia Hines. They approached me about it, and it's the first actual proper professional recording I've done. So, I was really thrilled, to be honest, to be asked. When Georgie in Paris approached me, initially it was another Marcia Hines song they wanted me to do, Something's Missing, and I felt that was a little bit kind of slow and a bit sappy. So I said, you know, what about you or something a bit more up, a bit more camp maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting one with that song because I have a connection with Marcia from my childhood, you know, from when I was a kid at school. And my best friend at school was a Marcia Hines fan, and we used to go to her house and stalk her and hide behind trees. And her mother invited us into the house, and so we met her, you know, like when I was at school. And then, you know, we used to watch her on Countdown, and, you know, she was the Queen of Pop and all that sort of thing. She was like the Diana Ross of Australia, if you like. So we got to meet her, and then years later I got to sing with Marcia at the Pride New Year's Eve, and I think it was 93, 94, 95, New Year's Eve, one of those, and got to perform with Marcia, and it was like amazing, beyond dreams come true, you know. So it's kind of ironic that I've done this song on this album, you know, Marcia Hines, you know, it's my first song and all that sort of stuff, and I've just been cast in the musical. There's another connection, but I can't actually say what the musical is because it hasn't been officially announced.
Okay.
But Marcia was in it years ago. And so there's all these sort of connections that sort of I don't know, parallels, if you like, to Marcia. So it's good.
Will you love me?
Excellent versions of these songs on Refashioned. Hey, and these are great pop songs, and so it's from the Australian past. You hosted recently, or co-hosted, the Eurovision Song Contest on SBS.
Yeah.
And someone suggested to me when I said, oh, well, you know, like, these are not all great songs. Someone said, okay, well, I think that some countries are actually deliberately putting in crappy songs so that they don't have any chance at all of hosting it next year.
Yeah. That's a strong rumour.
Yeah.
That's a strong, yeah. And you look at them sometimes and you think, it has to be deliberate because they're so bad. They dress bad, the songs are bad. It's high on cheese, you know, it's high on cholesterol. It's very high cholesterol experience. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I was incredibly nervous, but because I don't usually do that sort of thing, you know, like host TV shows live to air, but it was fun.
Yep.
I had a good time.
It came over really well, I thought. Looked like you were enjoying yourself.
But it was interesting. SBS had quite a few people calling up about the show. They got a lot of negative responses, and a lot of those negative responses was about the gay element of the show. Not the fact, I mean, there were all people complaining about Effie going, oh, she's giving the Greeks a bad name, and so-and-so's giving the Croatians a bad name, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, they always have to love a little whinge, you know. But apparently, a lot of people rang very homophobic comments to the station about, you know, what all the gays doing there, leave Mardi Gras to Mardi Gras or something. Because, you know, there was Claire de Lune, there was the editor of DNA, there was lots of, there were drag queens in the audience, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and they can't see that this is, like, this is the tradition of high camp. Hey, not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
And,
it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, I would have phoned up and made a complimentary comment if I'd known that there were going to be negative ones.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they got the highest ratings they've ever had. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah.
Eurovision, in all the years it's been, you know, showing on TV,
yeah,
it had the highest ratings, and but it also, I think, had the most complaints for any show they've ever had as well.
Right. It'd be hard to imagine anyone making any more insulting comments on any level than Terry Wogan. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't even compete. I mean, he's particularly acidic and clever. Well, I think he's clever. I think he's acidic.
Yeah.
For me, it was just a matter of talking to the people, to the judges, and singing my songs, really. I wasn't sort of interested in making, I don't know, too many comments about the actual songs, about the people that are performing, especially when you're a performer yourself. It's a bit of an odd one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, Terry has a lot of fans, and they kept a lot of his actual stuff in there. They didn't actually cut a lot of that out. They made sure they maintained lots of Terry Wogan in there. But who knew? There's a lot of, like, you know, hardcore Eurovision people out there.
Yep. Well, they'll learn in the future anyway.
But out of that, I've just done an episode of Pizza. Have you ever seen that show?
No.
On SBS?
I've heard of it. But...
Yeah. Well, I'm doing an episode playing Bernard King's camp flatmate. Very funny. Very funny. I won't say any more, but it airs in September.
Very good.
But that came out of that, which was great.
Uh-huh. And you are getting offers then to do roles in films as well? Like, you say that you're going off...
Not so much. I've only just started getting offered things now because of Eurovision.
Uh-huh.
Head On garnished nothing for me as an actor. Absolutely zilch. Nothing. Got me nothing.
Yeah,
because
that's astonishing.
I got an award and I got nominated for an AFT. I mean... And it got great reviews all over the world, and I got great reviews, and people, you know, say wonderful things in the street. But, I mean, as far as the industry goes, the Australian film industry goes, they just basically put a lid on me, and I just went, oh, well, he just did that. I guess he played himself. I don't know what they thought. But so that didn't happen. But it's interesting how, since doing Eurovision, I've had offers to do television parts and things. You know, I've had people come to me who are interested in doing something with me in film, but either the projects don't come up or, you know, whatever, they just sort of get lost. But it's very difficult. I just feel very blessed that I was given the chance to play that such a great part and in such a wonderful movie, you know what I mean? Based
yeah.
on a wonderful book by Christos Tolkis, you know. Mm. So, I mean, I'm just grateful, I guess, that I've had an opportunity to do something really good. Hi, this is Paul Capsis, and you're listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ. Love you and love your work. Feel the beat of my heart.
You said that you're off with Barry Kosky?
Yeah, I'm going to be working with Barry in Vienna for 3 months. So I'm going to be going off and doing that and hopefully, you know, getting into the Europe scene somehow with my act. Because I've performed in Edinburgh. I've performed there twice. But Barry wants to do, like, a new show. The two of us write. Like, I did a show with him called The Burlesque Tour, which was a couple of years ago now that we did that. It was a big show. Again, really disappointed and never made it to Brisbane. but it was very highly acclaimed. Anyway, Barry and I are going to do a new show, a more theatrical, intimate piece, probably on the lines of where Burning Sequins was about, but a slightly different story.
Fine. Mm. I thought it was interesting, one picture that I found on the internet looking for Paul Capsis, and it's a photo from The Age of Jerry Connolly carrying you.
Is that on the internet?
Yeah, it's a lovely picture, you as Marlena Dietrich.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that was on the internet. Oh. So where had you find that?
Oh, just search Paul Capsis.
Oh, I should do it one day.
Well, there's several hundred entries. Most of them are to do with head-on.
Of course.
But, yeah, you can find other pieces.
Oh, that was a great experience, working with Melbourne Theatre Company, playing Marlena Dietrich in The Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy, which was a Brecht piece, with Jerry Connolly and Frank Gallagher and a number of great Australian actors. It was a wonderful experience. And I so loved playing Marlena. Researching her, looking at her films, playing her. In fact, majority of the audience didn't even know I was a guy. They thought I was a woman. They'd say, "Who's that German woman?" Which was a great compliment.
Mm.
I loved it. Oh.
Yep.
And I know the photo too. It's a really good one. I look like a puppet, don't I? I look like a doll.
Yeah.
Sort of a little blow-up Marlena doll.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, drawing back to an earlier point too about marriage.
Because oh, yeah.
You had said in 94 you reckoned that you heard your mum saying to the neighbour over the fence, after she'd refused to listen to you saying that you were gay or talk about anything like that, she'd say to the neighbour, "You know, my son Paul, he will never marry. He's married to the stage."
Yes. That prompted me to come out to my mother because she used to always say that to people. And I didn't think that was very good. I didn't think it was a good idea. Because I thought people knew and they'd be laughing at her. You know.
Do you still feel yourself, though, that you are married to the stage, that this is your direction in life, it's your vocation?
It's my thing. It's definitely my place. I found my – I feel very blessed because I'm doing what I want to do, and that's perform, and I've always wanted to do it, and now I'm doing it. But I have a relationship, and I never thought – I was one of these performers that believe that if you were a performer – you have to be alone and you have to dedicate yourself to your work 100% and you're lonely and you're like Judy Garland and Janice and all that. And there was a period where I was like that for a long time, you know. And I've only, like, yeah, it's only been the last 2 years. But I've met somebody who is incredibly understanding and is, you know, accepting of me. And he wants me to do what I want to do. You know what I mean? He's encouraging of me. Continually doing what I do because, you know, I've had this career before I met him and he understands when I need to be on my own and I need to rehearse and I need to, you know, research and nothing's changed. If anything, I feel like I'm incredibly supported and loved and it's the sort of love you'll never get from an audience, you know what I mean? I mean, audience love isn't particularly powerful and incredible and there's nothing like it but something about intimacy too, you know, because
yeah.
A lot of the books I've read about Judy and Janice and Marilyn and, you know, they just could never find in a person anything that come close to what, you know, they had as performers. And to a degree, that's true. But I didn't want my life to be like that. I just made a decision. You know, I just thought, no,
uh-huh.
I want a full life, you know, not a lonely performer life.
Well,
and who knows what will happen in the future. But for now, right now, I'm enjoying being being in a relationship and being professional performer with a career. And I go away a lot, and that's really difficult. It is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I was in London last year for 6 weeks, and I really missed him. And that was very difficult, actually. And you know, I'm going away for 3 months into Vienna, and I know that's going to – already I'm dreading it. I'm like – I'm aching to go to Vienna to work with Barry because I love Barry and I love his work and respect him as a director. And I'm excited about the opportunity of going to Europe and creating work over there and doing my thing, but I'm also dreading being away from my boyfriend for that long. Hi, this is Paul Capsis, and you're listening to Queer Radio on 4ZZZ. Love you and love your work. Feel the beat of my heart.
This seems like an appropriate time. I was going to close the interview by talking about one of the most impressive songs I've heard you do, and that was connected with an Elle McFeast Mardi Gras coverage from a few years ago, and it ends with Ron Muncaster, and he's being asked about his partner Jacques, who had died the year before. And this particular Mardi Gras, then it's Ron entering on his own, and he says, yeah, Jacques up there watching me. He's here with me in spirit. And then it goes into your song, Feel the Beat of My Heart. And it's just so beautiful, like powerful and moving. And obviously that song is working for you now too.
Yeah, I think if you put it out there, I mean, that might sound, I don't know, but it's just that thing of if you put it out there and pray for it, it's a funny way of saying it, it's sort of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You think things never come to you. I mean, I never believed I was going to be a performer. I never believed I'd ever make it in any way as a performer. And I also believed that I'd never have a lover. So I think there was a change of mind there along the way, and I just determined to have a career and determined to be in a relationship. I wanted to experience it, you know, like properly, not pretend, like, you know. But that song, yeah, that was from a musical called The Emerald Room. Haven't done that song for a while. But it was great to sing for that time. Well, what a good memory. Yeah.
Great stuff. Lovely speaking to you, Paul.
Oh, you too, John. Thanks a lot.
And, I'll do what I can in terms of whispering in ears up here. I don't have a huge amount of influence, but the powerhouse is definitely, that's the most likely venue to go for.
I think so. Hey. That's the place I want
to
be.
And you know you've got a crowd waiting up here to go and see you. Anyone who saw you in Burning Sequence, and all those people who've seen you in shows to do with the Mardi Gras Festival, people come back and say that they've seen Paul Capsis, and it's just a knockout show. Each show is different. Each show is fabulous.
That's great. Well, I hope I'm there really soon. Well, at least next year at the latest.
Look after yourself, Paul.
Thanks, John.
Sorry. How does this one compare with other ones you've been in?
I think it's the best this time.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
And would Jacques love it?
He's out there watching me.
With a tender kiss, drink deep from the well, then kiss my lips again under a purple moon. Taste the juice of a fruit, smell the petals of the rose. Taste the juice of a fruit.